The following programming is sponsored by Clean and Sober Media. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
If you need immediate help, please call the National Substance Abuse and Mental Health Hotline at 1-800-662-HELP. Welcome to Clean and Sober Radio, brought to you in part by Jefferson University Hospitals and Thomas Jefferson University, providing excellent clinical and compassionate care in the Philadelphia region, a proven leader in healthcare and education since 1825. And now, here are your hosts, Gary Hendler and Mark Sigmund.
Hey, hi, everybody, and welcome to the show. Clean and Sober Radio features real people with real stories about addiction to drugs and alcohol. Mark Sigmund, what do you have this week in recovery news?
So we're doing something a little bit different today. As a series we have on AA history, I wanted to give you guys a little AA history. And have you ever heard of a man named Carl Jung? He was a famous Swiss psychiatrist that had a huge influence on AA and its spirituality. Carl Jung basically treated a later AA member named Roland Hazard. And this guy was a drunk that he thought was hopeless. And basically what he said to him, that there was just one hope to get better. Nothing, psychiatry wouldn't work, but occasionally people would recover from a life-changing, vital, spiritual experience. And he talked about how alcohol in Latin means spirit. And he basically came up with this idea of like a spiritual awakening can lead to changing and staying sober. This whole idea made it into AA, and it was a huge influence on how the spiritual aspect is so important for recovery.
That's great.
Yeah. Pretty cool, huh? He was actually a student of Sigmund Freud, but Sigmund Freud was an atheist, and Carl Jung was into spirituality and believed it.
Hey, let me tell you something. I heard a joke this week. Can I tell it?
I want to hear it.
And I'd like to know if the audience thinks it's funny. Guy walks into a party, and he says to his friend, "Hey, Mark, I just joined AA recently, but I still drink. I just use a different name."
We heard it before the show.
All right, that's stupid. Okay. All right. If anybody thinks it's funny,
call in.
So again, I just want to remind everybody, this is our fundraising season. We really, really need money. And it's very easy to donate by going to our website, which is cleanandsoberbroadcasting.com. Hit the PayPal donate button. $1, $5, $10, $3,000, whatever you have. Mark and I absolutely need that that money. That's how this place keeps going after all these years.
Yes, and it carries the message of recovery. So send a donation and you'll be helping a lot of people in recovery.
Right. And now I have the question of the day.
Let's hear it.
Guys, please, when you respond, when you're watching us on Facebook and you send us a little note, here's what we want. We want you to tell us where you are when you're watching us. And the reason is, it's fun for Mark and I to know where everybody is anywhere actually in the world. And it's fun for the other listeners and viewers to see who else is listening and where they're coming from. But the question of the day is this. Should alcohol, knowing what goes on airplanes now, and something very horrible happened this week, should alcohol be served in a confined space such as a commercial airline? Because all sorts of stuff happens.
It's a good one.
It does. All right, let's go. We're going to take a break. Linda is with us today. Linda E. She's a longtime listener, a friend of the show, and we love when she's with us in the studio. We'll be right back.
This is Clean and Sober Radio.
A cancer diagnosis can knock the wind out of you. The Sidney Kimmel Cancer Center at Abington Jefferson Health can help. Our brand new Asplund Cancer Pavilion brings you 86,000 square feet of cancer-fighting science for truly comprehensive care. Backed by the strength of an NCI-designated cancer center. Call 1-800-JEFF now. The Sidney Kimmel Cancer Center at Abington Jefferson Health. The power to out-science cancer.
Hey,
this is Jackie Marling, and I listen to Clean and Sober Radio. This is still Jackie Marling, and you should listen to Clean and Sober Radio. Everybody should listen to Clean and Sober Radio.
888-728-9941. This is Clean and Sober Radio.
Welcome back to Clean and Sober Radio. You can enjoy this show on WWDB in Philadelphia, 97.5 HD2 in Philadelphia, WGAC in Augusta, Georgia, and WNBR Tampa, Florida. Hey, welcome back to Clean and Sober Radio. You know, when I hear stuff like that, it's that euphoric recall. I can picture myself, Mark, in the basement of my house or after that into an apartment with a strobe light and a black light listening to that kind of stuff.
Isn't euphoric recall crazy? You know, as a therapist, I see it all the time. People coming in and, you know, almost immediately going into this place where they're thinking about like the stuff that they liked about using, you know, and definition of euphoric recall is remembering the things we like, but screening out the negatives, you know, not thinking about the negatives, but I know exactly what you mean. For me, it's like Pink Floyd or the Grateful Dead and having incense going. And
how about Phil Lesh?
And Phil Lesh, I know I'm really bummed about that. Yeah. I mean, he had such a great life though.
I got a great story about him. I have a friend who's a doctor at Lankenau Hospital outside of Philadelphia. And when, I'm not going to mention anybody's names, when the doctor's son was going to Princeton, the doctor's wife takes her son to Princeton to clean the dorms. And they're meeting the other boys and mother who's going to be his roommate. And they get to talking, and this other woman says to this woman, "What's your husband do?" And she says, "My husband's a doctor at Lankenau Hospital outside of Philadelphia." And she says, "What is your and Harriet says, "What does your husband do?" And she says, "He's a musician." And now Harriet's thinking, "Yeah, there's like 12,000 musicians." And she goes, "Did I ever hear of him?" She goes, "Did you ever hear of the Grateful Dead? Phil Lesh."
Wow.
Yeah,
it's pretty cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's awesome. But it's a shame. I didn't know he was that old.
Yeah, 83 years old.
Yeah.
I kind of feel that way about all the people that died this year. I'm thinking, we are really getting old. Like, these people our contemporaries, people that we listen to, people that... It's shocking to me. Yeah.
Hey, Linda, how you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Linda's here, everybody. Now, if you want to know who Linda is, she's been on the show many times. We've been friends for decades. She's a big supporter of the show, and she's in real long-term recovery, and she's in that business, just like Mark.
Yes, and Linda is awesome. And she's awesome.
Nice.
She's awesome. And but yeah, Phil Lesh and all these people we've lost this year. It seems like a lot, doesn't it?
It does seem like a lot this year.
Whoa, Mark, you all right?
Yeah,
the chair went down on you?
Yeah, that's real annoying.
So, guys, I just thought today we can have an open mic or a round table, get the audience really involved. Audience, 1-888-728-9941. 1-888-728-9941. We already see a gang of people watching us on Facebook, and the way they're watching on Facebook is that they are going to Facebook and they're going to our page, Clean and Sober Radio, and that's how they can actually see us do the show, which is fun.
And I got good news, Gary.
Let's hear it.
They're posting where they live.
Are they really?
I'm seeing it on there. Yes.
Well, I see Judge Maddox. Well, Drexel Hill. What else you see?
Coral Springs.
Coral Springs.
Who in Coral Springs? Give their
that
name.
Is Kathy Wolf Collins.
Oh, yeah.
She is in Coral Springs, Florida.
Wow.
Yeah, they're doing it.
They're doing it.
We've been talking about it for weeks.
Yeah, and it's not like, you know, somebody has told us that we have to, if you want to get on. It's like, it's cool to see where people are.
Are you sure nobody told you that?
Nobody.
I mean, yeah. Shouldn't we get a map and put the pins
now,
in the map?
No, he already did that. Mark did that.
I'd like to reinstitute it.
I think we should reinstitute it because now we're heard all over the world now with the podcast.
You know, like people like Sherry Belkoff, she couldn't say where she's from. I know where she's from. And I'll tell you something. If she doesn't tell us, I'm going to give her address out and her social security number.
Oh, this is why I'm here and Linda's here, that we stop Gary from doing certain things.
Yes,
every once in a while, he comes up with an idea. And we kind of, you know, and Mike Burke from Media PA.
And Media is outside of Philadelphia for our listeners who are out of the area.
Yeah, so it's cool.
It's totally cool. So, you know, we're basically all of us in recovery at different names, different stories, but we're basically alike. You know that? I think people are actually basically alike. There's some bad ones and there's a lot of good ones, but you know, we have our own issues, about why we were in our addiction, all, you know, reasons, a million different reasons, self-esteem, you know, all sorts of stuff. And then, you know, when we get into recovery, we're really, you know, all trying to just hang in there, aren't we?
Absolutely. And I was actually talking about this earlier this week, how it's like we're our people, you know, recovery is like our people. And you go to any meeting, right, and you see all these people out with their coffee or their Red Bull or some kind of fixation or blue hair or, you know, and my wife and I just think that a lot of us just never grew up, whether it's from trauma or whether it's from whatever.
Well, I hear from my wife.
Yeah.
That I never grew up.
I do too.
I hear the same thing at home.
Really?
I never grew up.
Oh, from Joe?
That I never grew up.
But you didn't.
But it's because we're so fun. We're just so much fun.
We're fun people.
We're fun people.
Some people don't
think
so.
We're not the people with the rules. The people with the rules are the ones we married so that we could have rules.
And I was scared of that, weren't you? Like,
yes,
I would watch
yes.
my parents and I'd be like, they don't look like they're having the best time right now.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know what? I think getting into recovery, I was afraid that we wouldn't have a good time.
Oh, me too. I was sure I wasn't going to have a good time.
Oh.
I catastrophized. I was like, my life is over.
That one line about if I keep giving stuff about me away, I'll only be the hole in the donut. I read that over and over and over again thinking that's there'll be nothing left to my personality, my sparkling personality. And now it's completely different. Now I feel like we're the cool kids. We've lived through something. And, like, we know everything now. Like, I just feel like, you know, the alcoholics who are in recovery are really the cool people.
Yeah, but Linda, Brad, our dear guy who keeps us going, he's never had a problem, and he's having a lot of fun right now.
Yes, he is. He loves hanging out with us.
And he actually thinks normally.
Right, right.
We don't know about that.
Brad, show who
pretty
you are.
Come normal. On. Oh, aww. Man.
Come on, Brad. Not today.
I got to get my hair done.
Yeah.
Yeah. I you know, would you guys want to, like, take a camera and just turn it around.
No.
Right on live.
I don't even like selfies. I don't even love to take selfies.
I hate taking pictures of myself.
I have a friend that when we go out, she takes our picture all the time, but I never do it. She's like, oh, come on, it'll be good.
They always make you look fatter. But
okay, Mickey G from Santa Rosa. So folks out there, we get emails all the time with questions and comments. Mickey G from Santa Rosa, California. That's Northern California. Is the situation about addiction blown out of proportion? I don't know anyone with an addiction problem. Buddy, you probably haven't left your house in 10 years.
Hello in there.
You don't know anybody.
Oh, he signs it inmate. It's San Quentin, California.
No. Gosh.
That's bizarre. I mean, obviously.
Yeah, I mean... if you haven't heard about the opioid epidemic by now, there's something up, don't you think?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or you're high.
Or you're high.
Maybe
he's so stoned, you know? He doesn't know.
I think that might be what's going on.
Our number here is 1-888-728-9941. 1-888-728-9941. Call us. We can talk about anything you want.
Check in. Let us know about your recovery.
Check in. Don't check out.
Yes.
What was that? What was that?
You're thinking of Timothy Leary.
Yeah,
Timothy Leary.
And
we went over this.
We went over this a few weeks
drop
ago.
And we had to ask the message board, so we should remember.
Joe answered me, and I already forgot it.
Yeah. It's
tune in.
Drop out.
Or tune out, drop in.
Here we go.
This is the problem we have.
No.
And Linda
brain
has
cells.
The same problem.
No brain cells left. You know, I'm convinced.
That's
we
why we're so
barely,
happy.
They're like, they're just like ringing back and forth, these tiny brain cells, the ones that are left, and it's very slow.
Listen, we're going to go over a lot of stuff today. And if you think you have a problem or you think you know somebody has a problem, the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Hotline is a national number And you can get help by calling 1-800-662-HELP. That's 1-800-662-HELP. Somebody will actually answer the phone and do their best to get you to a resource to help you. And Mark, you have another very important
another number. Very important number is 988, and that is the suicide hotline. Call that. You'll get some help. It isn't hopeless, even though your head's telling you it's hopeless. And yeah, they'll help you.
And there's a new button on that line that really? You press. I think it's one if you're a veteran. I think they're really emphasizing that veterans should call 988 if they need to talk to. They're really emphasizing. I heard it on the radio and another station. And it is very specific that you'll get somebody who understands. You'll get another veteran, which is great.
Yeah, that is. That's great.
Because there's been a huge problem with vets committing suicide.
And guess what? This country is not doing nearly enough to help our veterans. They should be doing everything.
Yeah, I agree 100%, Gary.
Yep. Selma Kay from Georgetown. I live in a political area of the country, yes, Washington, yet our city is ravaged by addiction, and it seems like no one in power is doing anything meaningful to correct it. It does seem that way, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I think some people are trying and everything, but I always wonder to myself, I'm like, why aren't we doing more? If we're losing over 100,000 people a year to drug overdoses, like, come on. This should be like...
Is there a drug czar, Linda?
There should be.
I thought there... I never hear...
We have a recovery czar in the White House. We don't have a drug czar anymore. If we do, I don't know who it is.
Yeah.
That's a good question,
But
Selma.
I mean, are they going to regulate the pharmaceutical companies? Are they going to come out and tell them no more fentanyl, no more this, no more that? It's not, you know, it's up to the people that are hurting. You have to be hurting bad enough, or somebody in your family has to make you recognize. And then there are so many choices of ways to get clean, and people are afraid. And I did tell somebody the other day, I said, if you're not that bad, you're an alcoholic, you can do a 5-day hospital dry out and then start going to meetings. I said, they'll try to get you to go to 30-day rehab, but people don't always have to do that. First time I got clean, I just went to a meeting.
I don't think much is going to change until the people in power are directly affected by addiction, such as their kids, their spouses. I just think it's sad to say, but generally, I don't think people really care unless it affects them. And I also think, sadly, I think people are sick of hearing about this.
Yeah, I mean, it has been in the news so much over the years, you know, and I think, you know, when you used to hear those quotes that there was enough fentanyl that would kill like 2 million people, and it would seem like this big thing. Now it's like, I've heard that 100 times before.
Exactly. You know, and like, I think there's also so much shame around it. Family, even if they have it in their family, they want to keep it a secret.
Definitely.
There's so much shame around it, and I think getting rid of shame and guilt would be the best thing we could do for this.
I think it's getting better.
It is.
Right?
Yeah. But should be.
I think it's getting better for the stigma, and I think that the legal system is at least trying to deal with you can't incarcerate out of this problem.
Yeah, and I was happy to see that there was actually a drop in fentanyl overdoses last year. Pretty significant drop. You know, in the data, which is good to see.
I wonder why. I mean,
I think more Narcan around, more MAT.
So it's not actually less people using. It's there's ways to stop an overdose.
I would think that there's some of this harm reduction going around where they're flooding places with Narcan. They're also more pushing more medically assisted treatment, which. Yes. You know, some people are against, but like, you know, you get a 23-year-old that's hooked on heroin or fentanyl and you don't have the runway anymore. They can't go relapse because there's a good chance they'll die. And some of these medications will stop them from getting killed, basically, you know.
Yeah.
So I
think the number's then misleading because it's not that you or I stopped. It's just that the overdose was stopped.
The overdose rate's coming down, but it's still horrific.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely horrific. It's like so nothing mankind has ever seen.
Right. What kind of numbers you see?
Well, you know, they were saying about 80,000 fentanyl, give or take.
Right, so and we're still at 100,000 people dead.
Totally. Like
so how big is a football stadium? How many people? I'm trying to get a perspective. I'm trying to get a – does it hold 50 or 60,000, do you know? I mean
– some of those really big ones in Texas can hold 80 and 90,000 people.
So mm-hmm. – so,
college.
Well, fields. Penn State can hold 70,
Penn
right?
Penn State's 120.
There you go.
Brad, college,
at Penn State,
larger,
Happy Valley.
I think typically college stadiums are larger than NFL stadiums.
I see.
So NFL stadiums go, what, maybe 40,000?
40, that's what I'm thinking.
I'm thinking. Yeah.
But can you imagine a state, you know how many people that is? How many families are affected? How many generations are lost?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I mean, I think of it World War II terms, you know? The time there was World War II, we lose almost as many people as World War II.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a tragedy.
It is. By the way, Mark Willick jumped in here. What a great guy.
Yeah.
Hello from Doylestown, Pennsylvania. Love to you all, Linda, Gary, Mark, and Brad.
We love you too, Mark.
We love you too,
we
buddy.
We love you, Mark.
And we hope you are feeling on the mend.
Yeah, he's an incredible guy. I had to just jump that in. And another guy who's watching, Joe Toogood, and that's a real name, and he's a real attorney and an incredible one. I went to school with him, and he's watching for the first time because he's got a lot of time on his hand now. Right, Joe? All right, so people are starting to get it. It's fun for us to see where you're calling from or looking at us from.
And have you ever noticed that people's last names sometimes are accurate? Like, I'd imagine this guy is, like, good.
Joe Toogood?
Absolutely.
Can I tell you something? He's a criminal defense attorney. For years, his license plate said, no jail on it. N-O-J-L.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I'm sure that's accurate then, you know?
Yeah, yeah. It is interesting. Yeah, it's cool. Reaching out to us and keep letting us know where you're coming from. And also, I want to mention again, this is our fun driving, raising money time. Please go to cleanandsoberbroadcasting.com. Hit the donate button. We really appreciate it. Mark's having a little trouble over here.
These chairs.
No, you're hitting the button.
I know
them.
I'm hitting the button. And I got a lot better with this. I hadn't done it in like 6 months. I've done it twice already today. And your whole chair falls down.
Know.
Yeah. Listen, we got a caller on the line.
Yes, we do.
Okay.
Mark Willick, welcome to Clean and Sober Radio, buddy. Hey, buddy.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to say hello. Linda, how you doing?
I'm good. Hi, Mark.
Mark, please accept my condolences on the Phil Lesh death.
Yeah.
And,
Oh, Mark had something to do with that.
Mark must be dead.
Yeah. And Brad never gets any credit for what he does, and what he does is very great. So congratulations to Brad.
Brad's a great American.
Yeah, plenty.
He's a great American.
He's a great American. And
Marky, I'll tell you something. When we saw your name come up on the monitor, we all smiled. Okay. All of us.
I just got out of the hospital again.
What happened?
Another surgery. Another surgery on my arm. But, so I can continue to get dialysis and, try to be Frankenstein's record for, scars. I'm feeling okay. It's just I can't drive for 2 weeks.
Okay.
And I can't get to any meetings. So, I know, the virtual meetings and everything, but it's just not the same atmosphere of recovery, you know?
Marcus, is somebody who lives near you could take you to a meeting?
Yeah, and my wife said she would take me, I just like getting in a car and going myself.
Yeah, of course.
Getting in a car and coming down there.
Have
lunch with you guys or whatever.
Definitely.
But, and I want to get to Mark's home group. That's what I really want to do because I haven't been there, And I hear, it's all about him.
It's all about you, right? I love it.
We got to do it, Mark. We got to do it.
The Mark Sigmund group of narcotics.
No, it's not the Mark
Is that true?
Group of narcotics. No.
Listen.
No, yeah, no, don't no.
Don't let him BS you.
Oh, my gosh.
Listen.
He's a star. You know, he's a superstar. And I can proudly say that I am a friend of his.
Oh.
And people say, hey, you don't know Mark Sigmund. Oh, yes, I do. Yes, I have his personal home phone number.
Oh, whoa.
And, you know, I said, you know.
Wow.
Yeah, no, well. But you guys are, what's going on today here?
Well, we're trying to figure that out, too, actually.
Yes, that's any ideas, Mark?
Yeah, Mark.
Any ideas?
Well, Mark, let me ask you a question. Yeah. I put out a question. Should they serve alcohol on a commercial airline knowing what goes on?
Should they serve it? Well, here's my opinion on that. If you're in first class, okay, there's a reason that you're in first class, and that's probably because you don't overindulge in alcohol.
That's not true. Yeah. No. Well,
you know, I've never been in first class because I'm classless. There's no class for me.
What do you fly? No class? Is that how you fly?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it's necessary for them to serve drinks, because especially if it's a long flight.
Mark, can you hold on? Hold on. Don't go. We got to hit a break right now. Stay with us. Yeah. We'll be right back.
This is Clean and Sober Radio.
A cancer diagnosis can knock the wind out of you. The Sidney Kimmel Cancer Center at Abington Jefferson Health can help. Our brand new Asplund Cancer Pavilion brings you 86,000 square feet of cancer-fighting science for truly comprehensive care. Backed by the strength of an NCI-designated cancer center. Call 1-800-JEFF now. The Sidney Kimmel Cancer Center at Abington Jefferson Health. The power to out-science cancer.
Hey, man, this is Ricky Bird, former member of Joan Jett and the Blackhearts, an inductee to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame as of 2015, and I listen to Clean and Sober Radio, and so do my friends here, right?
888-728-9941. This is Clean and Sober Radio.
And thank you, Ricky Bird, from Joan Jett and the Blackhearts, good friend of the show. He comes on quite often. Hey, we're back here. Linda's with us today. And Mark Willing's on the phone. I cut him off short because we had to go to a break. But you are listening to Clean and Sober Radio, and that's what you're listening to. Go ahead, Mark.
The Birdman and I shared a birthday last week. So,
You're kidding.
That's Ricky Bird.
Yeah, Ricky Bird. Ricky Bird. What birthday did you have, Mark?
I had a
29, right?
68.
What year were you born?
56.
Oh, he's right. Happy birthday. He's right. I thought he was much younger than that. You know?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's all how you. I'm chemically preserved, so I look. Like
yes, you are.
You know.
Yes, you are.
You know, but I wondered. I mean, we don't really talk politics, but
Let's not do that.
Okay.
If you want to talk about Reagan or Washington or Lincoln, go ahead. Nothing current.
Reagan was a great man, and I guarantee you, he would not have made a commercial at Heinz.
All right. Okay. Very good. All right, brother.
Okay, that's all I have to say about that.
Okay, that sounds good to me, Marcus. All right, listen, here's what we wish for. We wish for you to feel better quickly. We wish for you to have a good weekend.
This is getting old. It's getting old.
I know it is. I know it is.
Getting old.
Man. Are you on the list?
And I am on the list.
Good.
And not the list you're thinking of that starts with an S. But I'm on the transplant list.
Yeah, I know that. Did you say FBI or S?
No, S.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
Yeah, and you know, I just can't wait to get together with you again.
Yeah, we all miss seeing you. Well, as soon as you can, the door's open here, man. Okay?
All right. And tell my friend Tracy I said hi.
I certainly will. All right.
I love you guys.
Love you back.
Hey, Mark.
Cool. All right.
Feel better, man. Bye-bye.
Thanks.
All right. Elizabeth M. from Dayton, Ohio writes to us, I do not smoke weed and never did, but I smell it everywhere. Isn't it an infringement on my rights to have to be subjected to that odor? Yeah.
It's a great question, but I mean, you really are smelling it everywhere.
Oh, we were in New York, you know, up in August, and it's okay in New York. I mean, people who don't smoke were complaining to me. They're like, it's every corner and blah, blah, blah. And it was a holiday weekend. Mm-hmm. So I tried to just ignore it. I didn't let it bother me. But cigarette smoke kind of bothers me more because of my allergies. But you're just walking by somebody. It's not like you're stuck in a room with them. You're just walking by on the street.
It's
kind of stinky and skunky smelling, some of it.
I've had my son will say, I smell a skunk.
You're thinking
it smells like weed.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
He knows now, this was a couple years ago, you know, he'd be like, I smell a skunk because it was
Wait, he's 13, right?
He's 13.
His kid, he has friends that are smoking dope.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Really?
Yeah, he goes to a very small friend's school.
Maybe not, yeah.
Yeah, but all our neighbors do. And our neighbors across the street.
Wow.
I smell it all the time.
That's hard. We had a problem down the shore about 15 years ago from a guy above us. And he was an attorney. Mm-hmm. And I got the New Jersey State Bar, whatever, after him, and he moved.
Oh, good!
It's so annoying. It's just horrible. Even if it wasn't weed, if it was like chocolate, anything,
it's too much.
Too much.
And you smell it. Like the crazy thing is that when I'm driving, I smell it a lot.
Me too.
Like on 95.
It's back into you.
It must be people just smoking in their car.
Yeah.
They are.
You know, and for people, there's this wives' tale that marijuana does not affect your ability to drive. And it's totally false. They've done studies on this.
It impairs
your reaction time, your spatial. It really impairs your
ability. I was behind somebody this morning. I'm positive. The phone was glued to the thing. The phone kept falling down. She's scrolling the phone, her arm sticking out. The car was didn't move when the lights changed. I was like, oh, I know what she's doing. It was so obvious in busy rush hour traffic that this lady just wasn't with it at all.
Does anybody else smell this stuff, our audience? Call us.
Call us.
888-728-9941. That's 888-728-9941.
That was the worst, the old red light thing.
Oh, yeah.
I used to do that where,
pull up to and stop.
Oh, I'd pull up and I'd stop, and I was so messed up, I wouldn't realize it turned green.
Right.
And
yeah.
I remember one time a car flew by me. I'm lucky I didn't get killed.
Yeah,
you
know?
Exactly.
Yeah. That's why Quaaludes were good. You got to understand that, Mark.
They had to be horrible for driving.
We stayed home on the Quaaludes.
The Wolf of Wall Street.
That's so accurate.
He did not look like a good driver in The Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah.
They couldn't have been good for driving.
No, they were not. And not recommended either.
Not recommended.
Not recommended at all for driving.
But there was no odor.
Yeah.
That's
no odor.
And no bad taste.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And for the most part, Linda, there was really no hangover.
Yeah, we didn't have a hangover. But boy, were we out there when we were out there. I mean, it was a whole nother thing. It was completely different than what you're used to.
Yes.
Completely different. Like, it's nothing like a painkiller, right? Nothing like a painkiller.
No.
It's nothing like Dilaudid or fentanyl or Oxy or any of that, right? It was completely different. It was this very mellow thing. I don't want to – since they don't make them anymore, we can say how much fun it was. But I guess if they didn't stop making them, we'd be dead. Who knows?
Well, I stopped using them 2 years before they stopped making them.
Mm-hmm. What was the name of that girl that was in the coma for how many ever years that she drank at a party? Mary Lou Quinlan, was it?
Exactly.
She was at a party. She drank with the Quaaludes, went into a coma, and she was in that coma for years. And that was one
years.
Of the reasons they stopped it, because she was in a coma from like 1775 till I don't know when.
Yeah, in the early 80s.
Yeah.
Mary Ann Quinlan, is that what you said?
Mary Lou Quinlan.
Mary Jo.
Was she from this area?
Jersey.
Yeah. Do you remember that, Brad?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was really something.
I forgot about that.
That was one of the reasons she went into a coma. Never came back.
Yeah.
So she combined alcohol with Quaaludes.
And it wasn't a good mix.
Yeah. Yeah, I can
And I remember her mother going on TV. Like, it was a whole thing. And we were like, oh, my God, maybe we should stop this. Because we would take some and then go out to the bar. Yeah.
We weren't stopping anything. Because nobody thinks anything's going to happen to them.
No, not when you're 15. I was 15 or 16 back then.
Yeah. Couple more. Kevin Gleason. Watching us on Facebook, Clean and Sober Radio. Kimberly Hewley. Eagles Mary is watching.
Oh, Eagles Mary. She's the best. I know you.
Yes.
You know
How
her?
Are you, Mary? She's the biggest Eagles fan that you can ever imagine.
I've seen her post on other people's pages.
Gosh.
Yeah,
I enjoy seeing them.
Jim Meehan.
Hello, Jim.
Marjorie Hendler is watching.
We know who that is.
Who is that?
The greatest of all time.
There you go.
The luckiest woman of all time. Oh, my God.
You were doing good until you said the luckiest. You know, I'm like, Gary's trying to get a good weekend going
here. That quick,
here.
She's not watching anymore. That quick, she disappeared.
Yeah,
what happened?
Brian T. from Atlantic City, New Jersey writes to us. What's next, guys, to legalize? Cocaine? Heroin? We've lowered the bar, haven't we? Yep.
And it's going to be interesting because there's some other states that are up for legalization, one of them being Florida, I believe.
Yes.
You know, where it's going to be on the ballot.
For marijuana?
For marijuana, yes. And I don't know. I don't know what to say. And I don't know if this other stuff is going to become legal eventually, you know. But you're already seeing it with psychedelics.
Yeah.
My question is, there are so many people in prison for marijuana charges. Why are they still in there?
I thought we were working on that. Aren't there people working on that to get them out?
Apparently not.
I know we can get records expunged from that, right? From pot.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we can get in state by state for state charges and federal.
Oh, okay.
Federal for the president.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. There should be somebody working on that about getting people out.
Well, I don't want to get into the prison thing, but there's some things going to come up soon.
Oh, good.
I'll let you know about.
Okay, great.
It's a bad system we have.
It is.
You know?
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens. And I have this whole other fear with technology and getting high. You know,
Well,
that eventually, and you know, there's some movies and stuff about this, but like where eventually they'll be able to hook electrodes up and you press a button on your computer and it releases the neurochemicals in your synapses. And you know, it's as easy as going to your computer and pressing a button.
Well, it'll be like a menu. I want to get high on cocaine today. I want to get high on.
Yeah.
That's scary.
Yeah. I mean, it would be.
That is so scary.
It could work. I mean, you would see like all they have to do is have something that can send electric whatever impulses to certain synapses, you know? And I'm just thinking about the future on what kind of addictive stuff we're going to be dealing with in the future.
Because with at least this society.
Yeah.
There's never not going to be something to get high on.
Every time we think we've taken it. My thing right now is just dealing with these synthetics. I mean, I know all the other drugs are real bad, but like, it's like this synthetic stuff is just killing so many people. You know, can we put almost everything into dealing with them?
Do you hear in your practice people getting high still on Percocet, Percodin?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they can still get them. Yeah.
They can still get them.
But a lot of them are fentanyl. They're
mixed with the fentanyl.
I heard, I don't know, maybe you guys heard, I heard somebody overdosed on fentanyl in a diet pill.
Yes, because they're putting it in the cocaine. It's in speed. It's in the diet pills. The stuff that's coming from Mexico, not from the pharmaceutical companies, is getting mixed. Like it's coming from China and Mexico, and the fentanyl's mixed in everything, even the speed, the ecstasy, the cocaine, and the diet pills. It's mixed in everything.
So somebody is listening to – probably not listening to this. It's a different audience. Well, if that's true, why would somebody use those drugs?
But they don't know it's in there. They think they're buying that, and then they get something else.
got to be really careful on what you buy over the internet, right? Because, you know, some of these diet pills that you see advertised. Mexico, for instance, they have a big problem in the pharmacies down there where people are actually getting fentanyl by accident. You know how they have pharmacies all over Mexico?
Yeah, absolutely.
So you have to be super careful these days, you know.
1-888-728-9941. Come on, give us a call. Let us know what you think about the question I asked. Should alcohol be served in an airplane, a commercial airline, or just call and vent? Tell us what you're thinking about. Tell us how you're doing in recovery. Tell us how you wish you were in recovery. We're never going to get those calls.
I wonder if part of like why alcohol is still in airplanes is if it calms some people down. You know what I mean? Like if some people are really afraid of flying and things like that, maybe that's part of it.
You know what happened this week? I'm afraid from San Francisco. A disabled man was sitting in a seat and somebody brutally beat him.
That's awful.
I mean, other passengers, you know, took control of the situation. Man.
Was he drunk?
I have no idea.
I heard the planes are just insane since the pandemic.
Yeah, but it's way less now from 2022, one-tenth of infractions. But I'm like, these people do that? They should depressurize the plane and then open up the door and throw them out.
Yeah, and you just wonder, like, you know, if you can't have cigarettes on planes, can't you make – I could see on, like flights to Europe or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
But for domestic flights, can't you go for a couple hours? It's not like they're going to worry about withdrawal.
Yeah, but would you – I remember when I was on a plane when I was getting hot, I wanted those ludes right before I got on there, so no.
We had to pregame.
Pregame, that's a good way to put
flying.
It.
We had to pregame for flying, pregame for big parties. You always had to have a little at home first before you leave. A little pregame.
Pregame on Monday, Tuesday.
Wednesday.
It's amazing how all the days kind of blended together. you know what I mean? It starts out with here, and then eventually.
Well, it's like the joke I tell this. I only used Quaaludes once. You know that? From 1972 to 1982. One time.
Somebody was telling me recently, I don't know if it was you, but somebody was telling me that there was a friend of theirs that tried to use a vape marijuana cartridge on an airplane in the bathroom. And that it is all kinds of alarms
the
went
smoke.
Off.
Well, smoke, because you can't smoke
but
in the bathroom.
He was thinking like vape isn't the same thing, you know?
He
almost got in like big trouble, you know?
Yeah.
I've done it in bus things back in the day and on bus trips.
Oh.
Yeah.
I finally got the answer again about Timothy Leary. Tune in, turn on, drop out.
Oh, there we go. Who gave us that answer?
Was it Ben Sussman? Was it Steven Sussman?
Oh, Joe. Okay.
Oh, your husband.
I think Linda was on the show.
Last time we did it.
We did this.
Yeah, turn on, drop out. The turn on part because we don't do it anymore. We didn't remember that part.
Man, we're like a record where it comes back.
It does.
Because it was the last time.
That was 2 months ago, though. So it's not like we're repeating too much.
Jim Mann says he's so old. They had a smoking section in their high school.
Yeah, we did too.
Oh, yeah.
I had a teacher who I had in 10th grade reach out to me 10 years ago. He saw what I do, and he's in recovery now.
Oh, nice.
A teacher. So every time he calls me, I say, what do I owe you, homework or something? But he told me every day at high school, and he was a football coach, he was drunk out of his mind.
Wow.
Every day.
Oh, my God.
And do you remember in the teacher's lounges, there'd be smoke under the door?
Yeah, yeah.
They were all smoking in there.
Wow. He told you he was drunk every day.
That's amazing.
God. Did you suspect anything, or did anyone suspect anything?
He would hit you in the back of the head with his ring. I was afraid of him.
He was
funny.
But I'll tell you something. After I graduated high school.
Yeah.
He would come to my apartment, and we'd do cocaine together.
Oh, okay.
My teacher.
Wow.
It's great.
Yeah, I didn't have that with any of my teachers.
Me neither.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Man, Gary's got some stories.
But it was nice to hear, you know, somebody from the past, especially your teacher, calling you and saying nice things about you. It's nice. You know? Okay, look. I'm going to mention again our fundraising. I won't mention again today. please go to cleanandsoberbroadcasting.com and hit the donate button. We really need it. If you want to keep hearing us, this isn't a free ride. We pay. And we need people to help us.
We'd love your help. Help us carry the message. Message of recovery.
That's what it's all about.
What do you think, Gary, about the should there alcohol be on planes?
No, absolutely not.
Absolutely not.
No.
People can make it without it. They can manage without it.
Do you get nervous going on a plane now that somebody might flip out and go crazy?
Well, I'd be worried about that, about the Greyhound effect, like people act like they're on a bus. But yeah. I mean,
Greyhound effect.
Yeah. The Greyhound effect. But you just have to deal with it. I mean, hopefully you'll be on a plane with not crazy people, but I'd rather they weren't drinking and being all nervous and anxious, and then they're getting a drink, and then they're having too much, and then they just flip out on you.
Well, you know why the airlines won't do it? Because they'll lose passengers. There's people who won't, if you can't drink, they either
really?
Won't get on a plane because they're afraid, mm-hmm. or they want to be high when they're flying.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
There were those little bottles. You remember the little bottles?
Airplane bottles?
Yeah. I could tell you about the little bottles. When I worked on Amtrak, we would empty them and refill them and reseal them. And so on the way back, people were getting water instead of vodka because I drank all the vodka.
Nobody said anything to you?
They taught us it in training. They taught us how to do it in training.
It was pure water or you mixed it with a little?
I didn't mix it with anything. We cleaned out those. Those things come in a case of 60. And there's a variety, like there's so many bourbons and so many, of course, there's a lot of vodkas and gins and wine and all that. We would empty the whole thing and then we would put tea in the brown ones. We'd make tea and put it in.
Yeah.
And the clear ones were the easiest ones to fill.
Right. We have to take another break.
Okay.
All right. Don't go away, people. We'll be right back.
This is Clean and Sober Radio.
A cancer diagnosis can knock the wind out of you. The Sidney Kimmel Cancer Center at Abington Jefferson Health can help. Our brand new Asplund Cancer Pavilion brings you 86,000 square feet of cancer-fighting science for truly comprehensive care. Backed by the strength of an NCI-designated cancer center. Call 1-800-JEFF-NOW. The Sidney Kimmel Cancer Center at Abington Jefferson Health. The power to out-science cancer.
Hey, everybody, this is former Philadelphia Flyer Chris Terrien, and you're listening to Clean and Sober Radio.
888-728-9941. This is Clean and Sober Radio.
You know, speaking of Chris Terrien, Mark, everybody wants to know, how's your new gig going?
Fantastic.
Tell us where you're working.
Pennsylvania Recoveries and Cherry Hill Recovery Centers. It's been awesome. It's great treatment. We're helping a lot of people. The staff there is amazing. And we offer PHP, partial hospitalization, housing, intensive outpatient, medically assisted treatment, mental health and substance abuse, and the number is 610-233-4342. That's 610-233-4342.
And what does Chris Terrien have to do with this organization?
He is one of the owners.
Ah.
Chris Terrien, and we know how much of a great guy Chris is. And he comes on this show and has been a friend of the show for years. And he's such a big recovery
he's a good guy. Yes, he is.
And he
You're
ensures
lucky.
It's
lucky,
good treatment.
You You're
know?
Lucky. You know that?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you very much. So you know what? We didn't get any response about the joke I told.
I thought we were going to get a lot of laughter. People might have been laughing, though, but on the other side of the rate, you know? Like, they might have been laughing in their house.
Oh, I'm hearing them right now.
Yeah. There you go. There you go. I saw Tyler and Brad laughing.
Yeah,
so.
that was both of them.
You know?
Yeah.
They were totally laughing.
Look, it's very important. If you think you're in trouble and you need help, please call the Substance and Mental Health Hotline at 1-800-662-HELP. There is a way out of this. As long as you're alive, there's a way out of an addiction.
And it can feel so hopeless. And we're here to tell you there is hope. And we see people get clean all the time as well as ourselves.
And it's scary. It feels scary.
So scary. And you feel like you can never do it. You know, but once you put one day on top of another day and you get some confidence in your sales, you know, You know, just try, right? Don't give up.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Right, Linda?
You feel so much better after. But the beginning, it's very scary.
It's hard.
It's very scary. It's like, you know, you're on the trapeze without a net. Like, it's just, it's scary in the beginning. It's really scary. You feel empty. You feel all kinds of things, and you're feeling yourself, and you have to deal with all your problems. But AA and other programs, NA and rehabs, teach you how to deal with your issues that you don't need to drink over them anymore.
And how many people have overcome their addiction? Hundreds and hundreds.
Of millions.
Of millions.
And get yourself a group. You know, a group of sober people, because it makes it so much easier.
Don't isolate.
Yeah.
Right, Mark?
Yeah, absolutely.
Isolation's the new addiction.
You think so? Well, I guess with phones, right?
Yeah, it is. People are just, they're in that phone. They're living in there. They're not living out here.
They are, aren't they?
Yeah.
Living in the phone.
It's scary.
I've thought about trying to go back to the old phone that doesn't have all this stuff on it.
The flip phone.
But my wife's like, you can't do it.
Well, everything you do. I was at physical therapy this morning, and she says, do you like an app or a login on a pencil and paper? I said, no, I want an app. So there I am at physical therapy. She's downloading an app, and I have to put in how many reps and what I did and blah, blah, blah. And that way, and I can email it to her. But so nothing is not on the phone. You know, you go to the doctor, they tell you they want information on the phone. They have those charting things. Like, there's no way to get away from the phones now.
Could you imagine just giving people flip phones and they have to use them for a week? They probably lose it. I mean, I wouldn't be able to find my way around without the GPS from a phone.
Right.
Or maybe get the old ones, the Garmins, you know?
Yeah, I had that.
I remember those.
Yeah, I like them. I like them. I mean, I think we could do it, Gary. Do you think you and I should do an experiment and go without our cell phones?
Yeah, you do it and let me know at the end of it how it goes. And if it's really cool, I'll do it.
You guys heard it here first that if I do it for a week, Gary just gave us his word that he would do it for a week.
And so, my word
is gold.
It's gold. Gold, baby.
Gold. It's questionable.
I don't know.
My word is my bond.
Not these days.
No, not at all. No.
We should do an experiment just for, like, our viewers and listeners and tell them how it went.
Or have them all do it.
Oh, my God.
See how that would go.
I'd like to see if any of them will do it.
I'd like to go back to 1995. You know what I mean?
When's the first time you had a phone?
Probably 1995, 1996.
I had 1978.
I heard you had one of the brick ones.
You had one of those big things?
I had a briefcase phone that I got in New York where you actually open up and there's a phone there.
Whoa.
And then I had one of the big... You know, the big thing in the trunk of the car, and there were two services, a 150 for medical people, which is a direct dial, and then 450 for everybody else had to go through an operator.
How cool did you feel?
People would stare, like they'd point in your car, you know?
It's Miami Vice kind of stuff.
Yeah,
it is.
Yeah. I would have felt so cool. I would have driven up to every girl, you know what I mean, and pulled out my phone. And acted like I'm a big shot.
Yeah, that's right. And in my addiction, that's what I did. And then at the end, I had absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
You always say, play the tape.
Those Quaalude clinics did not work out. The Quaalude clinics didn't work out, Gary. Yeah.
Didn't work out.
They did not work out. They may have been good ideas in the beginning or bad ideas, but.
God,
did you wear like suits?
Where?
Like, you know, like Miami Vice.
No.
Like dressing white.
No, that was never Gary.
No. I did have once white pants and white shoes.
Wow.
I was on the boardwalk in Atlantic City with a cigar.
Oh, nice.
It's Miami Vice right there.
Yeah, it is.
My brother came home one time.
Yeah.
And he had a full-blown Miami Vice white jacket, white pants, white shoes.
I was like, it
was my older brother. I was like, that's so cool because I love Miami Vice.
Right.
Yeah.
But could you imagine wearing it now?
People would just be like, you look like something's wrong with you. You know?
They'd be like, you're wearing a Miami Vice suit.
Oh, my God. That was
2024.
If we would have known each other back then.
Big trouble.
Big trouble.
Oh, huge trouble. I mean, thank God our lives converged in recovery. Yeah. And thank God Quaaludes weren't around in my day.
You would have loved them.
Big trouble.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
Every time I ask somebody about them, they have this big smile on their face. And they're like, you missed. They're thinking to themselves, you missed out.
Yeah.
That's exactly what they're thinking when they bring it up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's indescribable.
Yeah, we can't really describe
it. Yeah. Hey, this has been a good show. You know, we got a lot of good feedback. Linda's been with us today. Brad, Tyler, me and you. So remember, Tyler's trying to slow me down here. Remember, if your loved one is struggling with addiction, help is available. Please call 1-800-662-HELP. 1-800-662-HELP. For Clean and Sober Radio, I'm Gary Hendler.
I'm Mark Sigmund.
Thank you, our audience. We really appreciate all the support you give us. And don't forget the donate button. See you later.
To say thank you on behalf of the group and ourselves. I hope we pass the audition.